and I'll make you feel like you are the only man. Well, yeah, I did not give you nearly everything that a woman possibly can. Honey, you know I did. And each time I tell myself that I'm gonna think I've had enough.
When did women first appear in advertising? What products did they advertise? When did advertisers discover that sex sells? And how have images of women in advertising changed over the years? Talking History's Eileen Dugan, professor of history at Creighton University, explores these and other related questions with her guest, Charles Sable.
A recent advertising campaign asks the age-old question, what are little girls made of? We all know the answer, sugar and spice and everything nice. But instead of cute kids in frilly dresses, we see female athletes mountain biking, snowboarding, and barreling through the desert in an SUV. Executives at this automaker explain that this commercial is aimed at active lifestyle women. My, but how the perception of women has changed in American advertising. Or has it? Well, joining us today to discuss images of women in advertising is Mr. Charles Sable of the William F. Eisner Museum of Advertising and Design in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mr. Sable is curator of a fascinating exhibit at the museum on advertising's changing images of women in post-war America. Hello, Mr. Sable. For what types of products did women first begin appearing in advertising?
Well, women appear in ads as far back as the 1880s and 1890s. And the first type of ads that women appear in were for things like what we would call today domestic products, household cleaners and things like that. And the ads depicted relieving women of women's work, meaning household chores, and making their lives a little bit easier. That's the kind of thing we see for things like laundry products, things like disinfectants, like, should I name a product? Things like Lysol and products like that, you find women appearing in ads, but they also appear in ads for things like early beauty products, like you have, or cleaning products, or sanitary products, I should say. As early as the 1880s and 1890s, you find Ivory soap using women, for example, which goes way back to the 1860s, actually. Or for things like women's, or products aimed at women specifically. There are some great ads that I was just recently looking at for women's hosiery for the 19-teens and 20s. And that continues up until the 40s and 50s. But you also have, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, ads that talk about women's roles in society, like the woman who was left behind, the spinster. You don't want to be like this woman. And that leads into where we go into the 50s, where why can't this woman get a man? Why can't this woman find a husband? What's wrong with her? And it leads into what I call the traditional role for the exhibit. The traditional female role, either the woman who needs to get a man, find a man, and once she has a man, then become the ideal wife and mother.
So how is a woman supposed to get a man, according to advertisers?
Through sex, through appeal, through, in the traditional female role as I define it in the show, a woman is supposed to get a man by becoming the virtuous young lady who is sexy, but not too sexy, not a tramp. But find that man, make him want her, basically, and then, of course, marry her. So she becomes then the bride and then, of course, the virtuous domestic, what shall I say, goddess, who maintains her family life to a T and is happy all the time.
When did advertisers begin using the idea of the sexual woman in terms of advertising geared towards men?
I think that really comes up. That's a tough question. But in my digging around and looking and perusal of ads, it goes back as early as the 19-teens and 20s. But certainly by the 30s and 40s, you find it. somewhere in that time, maybe probably, not probably, undoubtedly post-World War I. You may have one or two pre-World War I ads, but certainly in the 1920s and 30s is what you really find the sexual sort of innuendos starting. And certainly in the 40s and 50s you have it.
Oh, can you give us an example of that?
Yeah. A good ad is the Coca-Cola ad, which has a woman lying in a sort of skimpy two-piece bathing suit. It dates from the World War II period, and it's the big Coca-Cola logo, and there's a hand, presumably a male hand, offering a Coke. And the only, was a billboard and a print ad, and she says yes. Now, what's that? That's a great example.
It is.
But it's considered a classic of Coca-Cola advertising.
But they weren't so subtle afterwards, were they?
They weren't so subtle afterwards?
No.
Coca-Cola, you're saying. No, Coca-Cola got more demure after that. But there's always an undertone in a lot of Coca-Cola ads, and also soft drink ads. Pepsi did the same thing in the 50s, the Think Young. In fact, there's been a recent revival of it, almost a caricature of it with Britney Spears recently. She's done a whole series of ads, retro ads, looking back at Pepsi-Cola advertising, where she actually does the original, these are TV commercials, obviously, where she does the vintage ad campaign. And it was, the one in the 50s was Think Young. And she's surrounded by fresh-faced young men in a diner, and she sings this little ditty and dances around with them. But it's very sexual, as Britney Spears is today. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. When did, along with the idea of the domestic woman and the sexual woman, when did we begin to see images of stronger and more independent career women?
That comes much later than the time period I'm talking about. That only emerges in the mid to late 1960s. It's part of the pop culture revolution, or the new woman is how I defined it in the exhibit, where you find strong, independent women. And we refer to it in the exhibit as really the second wave of feminism, the first wave becoming the late 50s and early 60s, when you find the stronger, more independent career woman. And we had a lot of print ads in the show talking about, from the 60s and 70s, I should say, talking about a woman in a new career role. And that has to do with the changes in society, as I've mentioned, in the 60s, the feminist movements, but also changes in American culture as well, on a more generic level. More women in the workplace, more career women, as women economically in families needed to work, especially in the 70s, you find ads aimed at the career woman.
And was there a message in these ads that even though the woman worked, she still had to do her work at home?
Sure. Oh, yeah. The ads were, I can think of one that we had in the show for an aspirin product, where isn't your life tough enough? You've got work and family, yet you can't handle it all, so how about some aspirin? That's basically what it said. Or the famous television commercial where the woman sings a ditty, I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. And I think it was for a cologne, actually, women's or perfume. And never let you forget you're a man. That was the actual slogan that they used in the television commercial. This is about late 1970s.
Oh, I remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
How do the current lean cuisine commercials seem to overturn all of this old domestic ideal?
Well, that's a very good question, because the lean cuisine ads go into the sort of woman as what I called in the show just one of the boys. Because they are so career-oriented that these are presumably, in the commercial you're referring to, there are a group of women standing in an elevator and talking about what they had for dinner last night. And one said, I had a crock of cheese bread, and I had an apple and a leftover piece of pizza. And, of course, the third woman said, I had the most delicious chicken fettuccine and herb-roasted potatoes and blah, 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 blah. And all the others are looking at her like, how? Why? How did you have the time to make all this stuff? And, of course, we know it was lean cuisine. And so they're talking about women as total career women, not women who have to do double duty, but women now who are, as I said, just one of the boys.
When did women start becoming more sexually aggressive in ads? I think of the flirtatious Charlie girl, or the women who were drooling over a hunky construction worker in the Diet Coke ad. When did they start that?
You see that happening. Well, you see sexuality in ads, as I mentioned earlier on. In the 60s, you start to see a little bit of that, but in sort of a Madonna caricature Madonna-type fashion. But you really start to see that in the 70s. With, as you mentioned, the Charlie Girl, it was one of the first of them. My favorite is the great L'Oreal ads that starred Meredith Baxter Burney in 1973, where the woman talks about, because I'm worth it and because I'm a strong, independent woman. She is overtly sexual in that ad. Meredith Baxter Burney is. And those continued with Heather Locklear in the 80s into the 90s as well, where they're using their sexuality but also talking about themselves as a strong woman. And it's what I'm basically trying to say is it's part and parcel of this stronger, independent woman now who can be sexual in her own right, as opposed to in the previous traditional role trying to capture a man through sexuality.
How prominent have women been actually in the development of advertising campaigns?
There have been some major female copywriters in advertising campaigns. The most important of these was a woman named Shirley Polycoff, who created the infamous Does She or Doesn't She campaign for Clairol hair coloring. She basically reversed female roles in that campaign. We're talking roughly 1958 to about 1965 or so. Your public may remember those campaigns. Does this woman color hair? Is it acceptable to color her hair? And the answer, of course, is yes, because does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure, as the campaign went on. Shirley Polycoff was an important figure because she changed traditional female roles in the use of hair coloring. She understood what made women tick. She herself was a successful career woman who had a family. Probably the other great female copywriter that I think of who's still working today is a woman named Ilan Specht. And Ilan Specht created as I mentioned, the famous campaign for L'Oreal, Because I'm Worth It, in 1973, in frustration with male advertising executives who wouldn't take her seriously. And she said, Because I'm Worth It was written out of frustration, as she told me when I interviewed her for the show. And there have been many others since then. But those are the two pathfinders in the 60s and the 70s in the field. And there are lots of women copywriters today whose trails were blazed by these two strong, independent women.
How have women athletes been portrayed in advertising?
Well, traditionally, women athletes were portrayed as... Billie Jean King, I'm thinking of, or even earlier in advertising, were portrayed as themselves within the traditional roles of their time periods. Today, of course, as you mentioned earlier, they are portrayed as independent figures, very much not as strong as male athletes, perhaps. I think we're still in that transition period, but I think that's on the horizon.
For example,
Martina Navratilova. I can't pronounce her name.
Navratilova.
Thank you. For the Subaru, I think that's the all-wheel drive sport car. I think she's presented as herself, and of course, her sexual orientation is hinted at in that ad. Well, we're just girls, as she says. What will we know? And of course, she's a strong, independent person. That's a real breakthrough ad. About 1999, 2000, that ad aired.
Mm-hmm. And yet we still have Anna Kournikova, who is the babe.
Right. The babe. Well, that's another aspect that I talk about in the show, is mixed messages. Today, and I think for the last roughly 10 years or so, since the early 90s, we've had throwbacks to older representations of women, but these new strong types as well. And then another type that I haven't referred to yet, what I refer to in the show is the superwoman, the woman who can do anything. As one of the ads in the show talks about, the bendable, stretchable, unique, modern woman. Like, as I said, who can do anything she sets her mind to. As I said, the superwoman, the supermom. So that's yet another thread within this mixed message thing. So some of these traditional roles that I've talked about continue. Many of them continue. In fact, we had some what I would call negative ads for a liquor company, which were overtly sexual, blatantly sexual, in sort of a 50s or early 60s sort of mode in the show. Now, were they caricatures? Were they retros? We don't know, but they're out there.
When we think also of women in advertising, we have to think of lingerie advertising. How has that evolved over the years?
Very, very interestingly. When you look at lingerie ads early on, they were always very demure. I'm talking about teens, 20s, 30s. Some hosiery ads that I mentioned to you earlier were very, very simple and very arty. What's happened is they become maybe not so overtly sexual as the Coca-Cola ad that I mentioned to you a little while ago, but they're certainly out there. I'm talking about things like Victoria's Secret ads today, which are can be quite beautiful, but can also be very lacy and frilly as well in their sort of approach. So, yes, there's a lot of sexuality, implied sexuality in there, but there might not be as overt as some ads that are out there today. And there's a consciousness of not being too strenuous in those ads. I'm being generic in my sort of approach here.
We only have a moment remaining, but just one wrap-up question. How much has the image of women changed in advertising, or how much has it stayed the same?
I think that's a question that I grappled with in the show. I think there have been strong changes, especially in the last, since the 70s, with the new approaches, the strong, independent woman. As society has changed, advertising, I would argue, has reflected some of the changes we've seen in society. But there are always these vestiges. Advertising is not monolithic. It changes with the society and reflects the changes in society. But we also have what I would perhaps call retardataire ads, that's my own personal biases here, coming through. Backward-looking ads that reflect the past. And some ads that consciously reflect the past. As I mentioned, the Britney Spears TV ads, which look at nostalgia as well. I don't know where advertising or representations of women in advertising are going in the future. I think the change in society will represent those changes as well, or will be presented in advertising. But certainly it's changed dramatically, especially in the last 15, 20 years.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sable.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. We have been talking with Mr. Charles Sable of the William F. Eisner Museum of Advertising and Design in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.